are going to begin the hour with the other side, joined here in the studio by two Orange County conservatives, Waddy Davis and Shawnee Bigelow, talking about issues on everyone's mind locally, statewide, and nationally. And today we're talking about a lot of things, but we're going to start by talking about an issue that still kind of dominates the conversation, certainly locally with recent events, which is white supremacy and conversations there around. So thanks for being with us. How are you?
Thanks so much, Aaron.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. It's good to be back in WCHL.
Yeah. So go for it. What do you got?
Well, our topic today is disrupting political discourse. So how perceptions can be shut down and what it can do to the society.
Shawnee?
And I think it's important to point out that the negative perceptions about a group of people are growing because of the dogma and the rhetoric that's out there. A good example just happened this week that I'm sure you've heard about, Aaron, is the Deborah Messing, the actress that's calling for a list of names and addresses of Trump supporters going to, you know, a regular fundraiser that always happens during political election years, wanting to dox these people. And she's taking a lot of heat from her, you know, both sides of the aisle for her comments, but it's just a perfect example of how, you know, that dogma, that rhetoric, and that use of language promote the idea that Trump supporters and Republicans and conservatives are white supremacists. That's changing perception.
There's a lot of different directions that we could go with this, but I was thinking about this a lot over, but really thinking about it in the last couple of days. And when we talk in politics and when we just talk to each other in general, we're often careless with the language that we use, right? We'll ascribe labels to people without necessarily thinking about it. And I think a lot of times we'll use those same words to describe different groups of people that are different. And I think that phrase white supremacists gets used to describe, I think, two different groups of people, right? On the one hand, you've got actual white supremacists. The other group of people, though, and I think this is more mainstream, and this is something that we are seeing lots and lots of examples of in, let's talk in 2019, in the actions of the Trump administration, is the notion, and whether it's a conscious notion or not, kind of works out the same way, that in order to be a real American, in order to be a member of this community on a certain level, you have to be white, right? This is an idea that goes all the way back to the very founding of American government, Thomas Jefferson saying all men are created equal, James Madison in Federalist 10 saying we need to expand the sphere and bring in as diverse a society as possible, while simultaneously both being slaveholders and not even really fully conscious of the fact that they're excluding a group of people. Stephen Douglas in the Lincoln-Douglas debate saying, I believe this government was founded on the white basis. Immigration policy in the late 1800s, early 1900s, which is identifying desirable nations to bring in immigrants from. But it comes into being in a lot of different ways today. The notion that, well, if you have a black president, for instance, there's this concern about, oh, is he really an American, right? The birther conspiracy. Recently, you've got Ken Cuccinelli saying the Statue of Liberty and the poem on it was only intended for white European immigrants. You've got Trump tweeting about AOC and Rashida Tlaib that if they don't like this country, they should go back where they came from. You've got 600 people arrested in Mississippi for being suspected of being illegal immigrants, and then it turns out that half of them were American citizens who were arrested because they looked like illegal immigrants, right? And that, I think, is a deeper concern, not the notion that white people are in some way superior, but this notion, which is different but similar, that if you are not white, you are somehow an other. You are not a central part of the community. And I think that's more of a problem. Whether we identify it as white supremacy or not, we can talk about that, but it still has real manifestations. You're shaking your head.
What kind of country are you talking about? Because that's not the country I live in.
That's not the country we should live in.
I don't see that. I don't see that. That's pretty extreme jumps and assumptions that you're making about whole groups of people, again, just because you have genetically colored skin of being white.
I think that's something that we should be pushing back against.
I think it's a
common argument that is made, whether consciously or subconsciously.
I think it's based in a lot of assumptions. I mean, you're taking things out of context. You're taking things culturally out of context, historically, and how the country was started, how it ran, you know, the society back then. That's just making a lot of jumps. That's a pretty good example of the dogma that's happening that's creating some division here. Just because we're white doesn't mean that we're white supremacists or that we buy into, that I believe that our country is somehow inherently only believes that if you're a white person, that that's the people that are going to succeed and lead. Our society has, come against those things that they had found to be wrong. And look at how far we have come.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's, what you're saying is going right into what we're talking about, and that's perceptions and how those changing perceptions will then ultimately, create some real issues with attitudes towards groups of people.
So is the argument that that line of thinking, is that a belief that doesn't exist in this country? Is it fringing?
Oh, I just think that that's just out of order. I mean, I don't see that our country at all feeling that way. And I think that that is right there is a perfect example of what we're seeing the dogma come.
Yeah, that's a racist comment.
That is a racist comment.
See, we stand for equal rights, equal justice, opportunities for all, regardless of race, sex, creed, age, disability. That's who we are. Now, are we a perfect society? No, we're not. And do we have fringe organizations out here who promote what you're talking about? Yes, we do. We don't subscribe to that. None of us in this room, nobody that I know believes that. So we condemn white supremacism, racism and hate in our party. We need to unite against these groups and individuals and aggressively take on the white supremacist threat in America.
How do we do that?
Well, that's a good question. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it through training teachers to identify radicals or people that are connected with potential extremist-leaning ideas. Who are they? So you catch them early on. I think that we can use the same type of techniques are used in social media platforms to identify sex trafficking, pedophiles. Who are these people that are causing these, who are these racist people?
And it's important, I really want to point out here, is that it's understanding that perception is a very powerful conduit to change. Because once someone perceives something to be true, whether it is true or not, it doesn't matter at that point. Their attitudes will then be able to be formed because of their perceptions. And depending upon the strength of their attitudes, then we begin to see behavior that can bring potential harm through violence. And this is, what we're experiencing today. We're seeing incredible movements. And it's all to shut down political discourse. And that's why we're here today, is we want to come against those tactics of changing perceptions.
So how do we push back against racism while promoting political discourse?
Well, first of all, I think that, people in general, as Americans, because we are all Americans, have a responsibility to be informed about the people, about the topics at hand, about policy. Right now, we're seeing a real need to become more informed about our political process, how laws are made. And two, once we understand a topic and an issue, be fair about it. And in our discussions, our open discussions, sometimes even heated,
mm-hmm.
which is okay,
mm-hmm.
that we're able to call it out when necessary, when you find somebody that's going in a direction that's just not based in fact.
Well, one of the things we need to do is support dialogue and the principles that have common ground, that don't divide. And I think that's one of the things we're doing here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, we're communicating that.
And once you come to a decision of how you feel about something based upon your own due diligence of understanding all the sides and the consequences and unintended consequences, that you're voting based upon your understanding, your depth of understanding of the challenges at hand. And that to realize, Wadi and I were talking today, to realize that the sky is not falling despite the fact what media is saying to us. And we happen to live in a country that is a privilege to live in. It is the desire of the world. People are risking their lives to come to this country because of its greatness, its exceptionalism. So the sky isn't falling. We need to be grateful for what we have as Americans.
Speaking with Wadi Davis and Shawnee Bigelow, I want to keep this going forever. We got to wrap up. Final thoughts, Wadi first?
I think final thoughts is that, I think all of us are looking for an effective, responsible responsive government. There's support and close to the people.
I would second that, and I'm looking for both sides to bring down the rhetoric and dogma, you know, a lot, because we need to come together as a country, and this backfighting, this constant backfighting, is not getting us anywhere.
And that's the other side. You can get the full archive on this segment at theaaronkeckshow.com. Wadi Davis, Shawnee Bigelow, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.